I think there's been a lot of confusion regarding the pandemic relief bill signed by President Trump recently, in part because debate over how much the direct payments to individuals and families ought to be is ongoing. But it is, I think, important to recognize that 40,000 Alaskans have collected unemployment in recent months, and the new COVID relief bill, it's going to extend two pretty popular federal jobless programs, one that provides aid to self-employed Alaskans who are out of work, and that includes Uber drivers, but also private contractors. It's about 11,000 people. And the bill includes $25 billion in rental assistance, and it's going to extend the moratorium on eviction. Monthly food stamp benefits, including SNAP, are going to increase and rise 15%. A paycheck protection program that has buoyed a lot of Alaskan businesses over the course of the last several months. I think the question for me, Nate, is to what extent is this relief bill, whatever the direct payment amount ends up being, to what extent is it going to shore up and stimulate Alaska's economy? In part, the answer to that question has to do with what can we expect Alaskans to spend the direct payment checks on? Are they going to spend those checks on the local economy, or is this going to be a federal assistance program for Jeff Bezos's income? You know, listeners will recall the $2 trillion CARES Act that passed in March, and that COVID relief bill included direct payments of $1,200. And we can turn back the clock and look back on what Alaskans spent those checks on. Up to a certain threshold of income, Alaskans were spending that money on bills, on rent, on groceries, but higher income Alaskans, really that money just kind of went into bank accounts and failed to circulate throughout the state economy. I was doing a little bit of math, Nate. The median household income in Alaska is $77,000. That's the median. The average family size is 3.28. And so the average payout in Alaska will be around, I'm guessing, around $2,100. What are you anticipating in terms of how that's going to affect our situation in the state of Alaska?
Well, they waited so long to pass this bill. Alaska, I think, has just over 10% of our population that lives below the specified Alaska poverty level. Based on the Alaska level, we're at about 10 or 11% of our population are poverty. But even for those people living below that roughly $25,000 per household poverty level, we're still talking about between 6 and 7% of their total income for the year is represented in these direct checks going to people. But for the people that are really struggling and are behind on bills and in debt, this money goes directly to the bank. It goes directly to bills or to rent. And I think for those reasons, it's probably a little bit foolish to talk about it in terms of it being any kind of like economic stimulus on a large scale. I think it's very important to provide relief. But I think that folks that are really hyping it as some kind of economic stimulus are being either disingenuous or they're not really talking about the majority of the way that people are using the money. Now, when you combine those direct payments with the systemic boosts to unemployment insurance, to eviction suspensions, to the small business loans, I think maybe you can get to a place where you're talking about something that's necessary to prevent large-scale recession. But if we're talking about from March to the end of December, if that's how long it takes to get from one relief bill to the next, I just don't know if it's realistic to talk about these things providing the kind of boost that's necessary to really consider it a stimulus. Yeah. Again, it might prevent disaster. I think that it's true that it might prevent disaster, but to think that it's going to make things any better is maybe a little naive.
Yeah, from a financial perspective, I think for Alaskans who are unemployed, I mean, for 40,000 Alaskans who've been collecting unemployment, it's a big deal, this new relief bill, because their unemployment checks are going to jump from $250 a week, which barely covers rent. It doesn't cover an average rent in Alaska, to over $500 a week. So it'll jump to about $550 a week. So for those folks, that like, this is good news, to be sure. I think it's not too cynical to say that there's probably a political stimulus plan that's at stake here in terms of this COVID relief bill. There's a lot at stake in the Georgia runoff. And obviously, there's a lot of jockeying over the direct payments. And a lot of that has to do with positioning. From the perspective of Democrats in the House, it's in part about helping individuals and households. And in part, there's a corollary effect in terms of gaining control of the Senate, potentially speaking. Ossoff and Warnock both have supported the $2,000 level. That puts Perdue and Loeffler in kind of an awkward position. I think they've both come out and supported the $2,000 level. It's not clear whether or not they'll vote for a $2,000 level. It seems like Mitch McConnell and the other Republican leaders in the Senate are going out of their way to prevent any kind of vote that specifically focuses on the $2,000 level of direct payment. And their strategy right now, from a purely political perspective, is probably a good one. I mean, they're trying to tie it to liability questions around social media, which Trump has also called for. And I think that would have no chance in the House of passing. So I think they're just trying to delay until they can get to the runoff election. But if both Democrats win in that Senate runoff election, it would be a big deal for Alaskans. I'm just thinking about, for instance, you know, the passing of the Green New Deal would be at stake, right? Many, many trillions of dollars suddenly would be deployed to develop alternative sectors of the economy. And to be sure, that would have an effect here, right? So again, just amazing to think that just a few hundred Georgians in rural areas or in Macon or in Savannah, a couple dozen in Savannah, a couple dozen in some of the suburbs, could be the difference between whether or not the Green New Deal, just as a kind of random example, passes or doesn't pass. And that could be the difference of billions of dollars, trillions of dollars being distributed in new ways throughout the economy and throughout Alaska as well.
Yeah, the COVID bill that we were just talking about a minute ago, that was this collaborative work of this like small group of senators that had gotten together in November, at the end of November, which included Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, a bipartisan group. I haven't really heard a good nickname for that group. I don't know if you've heard any good nicknames for that group, but I was working on some nicknames for that group. So you could call them the Go-To 11, like a Spinal Tap reference. You could call them the Commotions 11. You could call them the Potions 11 or the Notions 11. They're having fancy catered parties. So I kind of like the Dying 11. Anyway, I mean, you're right that trying to lump this together with stuff that Democrats are not going to want is smart for Mitch McConnell if he really doesn't want the extra $1,400 in direct payments to come. But if Trump, if he really is supportive of an extra $1,400 for whatever reason, I mean, it's probably just because he wants people to remember him as like the last thing that he did was like push for this extra cash to come to people, whether or not it actually gets there. If the Georgia Republicans candidates are already saying, yeah, we support this because we know that that's what people will vote for. We know that it's like weak for us to oppose the extra direct money, and that Ossoff and Warnock are in a position of strength by supporting it. Why are people like McConnell and Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan so noncommittal on this stuff, or even in opposition to it? Why don't they just say, yeah, I mean, it's an extra $1,400. People want that. Why not just give it to them?
They probably should, but it costs $460 billion total to include the $1,400 extra direct payments. And so maybe, you know, there are X number of deficit hawk Republicans in the Senate, Rand Paul and the like, who possibly oppose this move to such an aggressive extent that you know, maybe McConnell is concerned with appeasing that particular cohort of Republican senators. But you know, I haven't done the math to count up just, you know, the number of Republicans who have come out for versus against in the Senate, but it certainly would pass if it went up for a vote today with some degree of bipartisan support. Probably I would expect between 5 and 10 Republicans to vote for it. So, yeah, I mean, the only answer that I can give you is the $460 billion that it would cost. And that's $460 billion on top of a $900 billion bill. And I think from McConnell's perspective, you know, the CARES Act, that was $2 trillion. This is about almost another $1 trillion. At some point, it becomes unclear what the Republican Party's stance is on deficit spending. It used to be the case, certainly during the years of Reagan, and one remembers what the deficit was at the end of Bill Clinton's administration, you know, zero. But there is an argument that, you know, deficit spending has gotten out of control, and that's been since war in Iraq 2003. Since that point in time, federal spending has just been out of balance with revenue. And it might be that the Republican Party is thinking now that Trump has lost the election, that doing some navel gazing, that there might be a philosophical component of just renewing that commitment at this point in time to being concerned with fiscal conservatism. I suppose that's one view on it, right?
I mean, it's awfully convenient for them that coincides with the transition in a presidential administration to a Democratic administration. it's hard to take that seriously when the hand-wringing about deficits only occurs when they don't have the White House. That is a consistent pattern, and I wonder how long they can keep that up and still feel like they're being honest.
Nate Bauer directs the University of Alaska Press, and Alexander Hirsch teaches political science at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm Robert Hannon.